Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:05 the time. Final hour for us today here on this hump day edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you. Broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Currently 66 degrees, and we'll get to 78 today. Sunny, and then some clouds rolling in. Tonight, 56 for a low. Possibly a stray shower or a thunderstorm, but for the most part, should be a lovely evening. And then tomorrow, some rain rolls in with a high of 73 degrees. The third hour of the program is brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. They're located at 6 East Commerce in Hernando, Mississippi, which is a short trip from anywhere in the metropolitan Memphis area. They also have stores in Little Rock and Cleveland, Mississippi. They specialize in flooring and carpeting. They're a family-owned and operated local business, and they have variety. Ceramic and porcelain tiles. They have the SPC and WPC vinyls, which are scratch-resistant, waterproof, top-of-the-line, hardwoods by Portercraft, carpeting from Southern Luxury Carpet, on and on and on. They sell it to you wholesale. They skip the middleman, save you lots of money. So it's for both residential and commercial. So homeowners and contractors, do yourself a favor and see what Jenkins Floors and More has to offer. They will install and do so in an unheard-of two-week turnaround. They'll also come to wherever you're located, where your business is, where your home is. They will give you a free estimate, show you samples of what you're particularly looking for, whether it be flooring, whatever the case may be. They do it all. One-stop shop. Jenkins Floors and More. Again, family-owned and operated. 662-469-9350. Open Monday through Saturday. Go visit them in their warehouse at 6 East Commerce in Hernando. Jenkins Floors and More. Time now to talk some Grizzlies.
Two watches, that's 12. Come through and slam on you. I'm in the L.
It's time to talk some Grizzlies basketball. Joining Greg and Eli is DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Here's DeMichael with Greg and Eli.
He is DeMichael Cole from the Commercial Appeal, Grizzlies beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at DeMichael C. And of course, once the Grizzlies season is over, it's probably more NBA than it is Grizzlies, except when the news is coming out on the Grizzlies. DeMichael, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing fine. And there was a little Grizzlies news over the weekend, although nothing official. But since he said it, it came from the horse's mouth, you would think that Yuta Watanabe will follow through and not accept the player option with the Grizzlies, and instead, as he indicated, head back to his native Japan to play professional basketball. Number one, is that surprising to you? Number two, what does it do as far as the roster and the finances for the Grizzlies going into next season?
Well, this was the first big domino that you needed to fall in terms of a clarity perspective. This is honestly what the Grizzlies wanted and needed to happen. You know, like it's best case scenario for both sides. We've talked about it ad nauseum about the fact that the Grizzlies just have too many wings right now. Like, it's not a bad problem in today's NBA because, you know, those players that we talked about the Grizzlies have on the wing, can a lot of them can play the two, the three. A group of them can go down to the four when you're talking about LaRavia, Conchar in a pinch, Gigi Jackson, you know, et cetera. So the point is, they have nine guys before Yuta Watanabe that I classify as wings on a 15-man roster. So that limits your ability to add front court guys and point guard options as well. But point guard depth is pretty good, so more so the bigger power forward and the center type of player. So now you're going into the offseason right now at this point with 13 roster spots filled and two open. So the main thing that it does is give the Grizzlies more flexibility. My idea is that I think the Grizzlies have the ability to double down at center potentially now if they want to, because I do still think that one more roster spot, at least one more roster spot, is going to open up. Whether that, again, it's going to be something else done with all these wings that they have. You know, the David Roddy trade, for example, was a little bit surprising, but they kind of got ahead of this overload that they have with wings. It's only an overload because there's some redundancy, you know, and things like that. Like, for example, Vince Williams and John Contract. Like, I think we can agree that Vince Williams is the better player, but what does John Contract do well?
He's a rebound.
Shooter. He rebounds the basketball, exactly. He's a solid defender. Those are all the three things that come to mind when you think of Vince Williams, and he's better at it. So you got some redundancy there, and you can afford to, you know, get rid of certain players in that situation. So at the end of the day, you got another open roster spot, which I think gives you the ability to say, hey, even if we draft the center and we want to add a vet to make sure we're solidified at that position, we have the ability to do so now.
Along that line, I was going to of Laravia, Conchar, and Zaire, and I won't even ask you for which ones, but how many of those three are back next year, you think?
I think two out of three is solid. I think you're talking about one of them potentially being moved, because with each of those guys, there has to be a trade. Mm-hmm. And I'm firm at this point, unless, you know, let's say there's no bite on Zaire, there's no bite on John Conchar, and the Grizzlies, you know, have an idea of what they want to do with another roster spot. That's the only way I think that Jake Laravia gets involved in the talk. I think he's kind of safe right now, so to speak. You know, I mean, the way he ended the season wasn't, like, great, but it was enough to realize that, hey, he's only played two seasons. He's played 70 games through two seasons. So I think the real kind of trade talk comes next season or potentially midway through this season for him, because there's some value to him being a stretch four and playing some at the three and whatnot. But Zaire Williams is the one I think that we need to monitor the most. He fits the most. 1 year left on his contract, kind of like when Tyus Jones got traded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steven Adams got traded with a little bit more than a year left on his deal, but kind of the same time frame as well. So I think he fits that mode of, hey, the Grizzlies need to get it out ahead of this and get something back from this guy instead of just losing him for nothing, you know, potentially next year. So Zaire Williams is the guy that I think we should monitor the most.
I'm a big fan of getting something, anything. I hate when they give up a player and get nothing in return. All right, DeMichael, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to speculate a little bit. Who do you believe should be, I mean, within reason, the top three center prospects via a trade or free agency out there that is possibly attainable for Memphis? And also, and again, only if you know the draft prospects. If you don't, I understand. But who would be your top three center prospects via the draft that you think could be targets for Memphis if they go in that direction?
Yeah, this is something I've been following very closely. So, I got some answers for you. But
I knew you would.
Well, the center spot, I'm going to give, you know, a splash and then a safe pick, and then I'll give you a kind of, you know, you try to get some bang for your buck or whatever the case may be. So, the splash pick to me would be Isaiah Hartenstein. He's a fit from, you know, he's going to play his role. This is not a guy you're going to bring to Memphis and he's going to say, hey, I need the basketball. I believe, you know, I can score 15, 20 points per game. You don't got to worry about that. He's going to rebound the crap out of the ball. He's shown this season, I think this is the year he's shown his playmaking ability to a whole nother level, averaging over 2.5 assists. We saw in that last game he had 14, 8, 4 assists. You know, that game, we know about the steals, the blocks, the defensive ability at the rim. And we saw in the perimeter late in that game against the Sixers holding his own against Tyrese Maxey, one of the fastest and quickest guards in the NBA on the perimeter, and chasing him down from behind with blocks. So I think he's your splash guy where you say if you get him, I'll put it like this, there's probably minimal loss from the idea of going from Steven Adams to Isaiah Hartenstein, because he's a great rebounder, too. He's an excellent playmaker, and he gives you those things. I think the safe guy would be someone like Andre Drummond, who's coming off a minimum contract. You won't have to pay him too much money. You know exactly what he's going to be good at. You know he's not going to be a great finisher around the rim these days. He's not going to wow you offensively. But you know he's going to set solid screens, and you know he's going to be arguably the best rebounder on the floor every single night. You know these things. You know you're probably not going to be able to play him 30 minutes. So he's the safe pick. If you say, hey, we want somebody that we know is going to rebound the ball well and we don't want to pay a lot of money for it, go sign Andre Drummond. If you want someone, you say, hey, we think this guy, with a bigger role, he can potentially blossom. And that guy for me is Goga Bitadze. I think in Orlando, if you look at the situation, they have three centers, and they have three centers that I think, depending on what teams they're on, they could get starting minutes. And they've all gotten starting minutes at different points of the season between Wendell Carter, you know, Mo Wagner, and Goga Bitadze. But Wendell Carter was supposed to be the more well-rounded center. Wagner is the offensive-minded one. And Bitadze is kind of your dirty work type of guy. You know, in his three games that he played over 30 minutes, he only averaged 8 points. So, yeah, but he averaged around 9 rebounds. He graded out earlier this season while he was playing, you know, consistently over 20 minutes a game. He graded out as one of the best defensive centers in the NBA, top 5. You know, so when he's played, he's proven that he can be a solid defender. And he can rebound the basketball at a solid level. You're not going to pay a lot to get him. Why? Because you look at these last two Magic playoff games, he's played exactly 0 minutes. that is your kind of your swing for it. And, hey, let's hope this works out. You know, you rely on your scouting type of guy because of the fact that you look at his production and you look at the depth in Orlando, that's the type of guy, if you're going to swing for someone under the radar, that's the type of guy that you go for. Now, going quick with the draft prospect, I don't think it's, you know, too difficult with this one. The first guy is Alex Starr, and I think some people, you know, may consider him, you know, a forward. You know, he has, like, you know, a Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, type comparison, you know, for example. But that's the first guy. Donovan Clingan, who I think is the best fit. From all the centers that we like, he's the best fit, you know, for the Grizzlies because he's 7'2", 260. There is some limited mobility. There is some injury history there. So, again, I'm not sold 100% on the idea of him, but I do feel like he's the best fit there. I might surprise you with this one because, you know, some people say Zach Edey, but I'm going to go Yves Missi out of Baylor, the Cameroon center. He is my center from an NBA perspective of what the Grizzlies need. He would be third on my list at this point. Think of him like a Nick Claxton. You know, not slim frame, but he can block shots. He can protect the rim. He has not, you know, been like a great finisher and things like that. But he showed flashes, you know, this past season. And, you know, it was just his freshman year. So I think he is a guy who, you know, when you say those Nick Claxton, Jared Allen, those skinnier centers who can protect the rim and hold their own, he could potentially be one of those guys.
I like your Hartenstein pick, but can they afford him?
That's why I say he's the big bang. You know, like any big bang is going to be tough for the Grizzlies to get because you're going to have to do a sign and trade. That's how it's going to have to happen. The reason that I bring up Hartenstein because the Knicks have already paid Mitchell Robinson 4 years, $60 million. You would ideally think that Hartenstein would get somewhere similar, maybe a little bit less, maybe 4 and 48, 4 and 52, somewhere around there. Maybe a little bit less than that, but he's going to get paid, you know, well. And it's tough to me to see the Knicks, especially with the rest of that roster that they've gathered, because they're going to have to pay OG Anunoby. We know the Julius Randle situation, Jalen Brunson's new contract is going to come soon, all that. It's going to be tough for them to commit that much money at the center spot when they're not asking their centers to, you know, do too much. So I think he's going to be available. And when you put a center on an open market, it's like running backs. Mm-hmm. It's just like running backs in the NFL. I think that's the perfect comparison. You know, you wouldn't expect, you know, Green Bay's Aaron Jones, after he ran for 100 yards in every playoff game, to get 1 year, $7 million deal, you know, in the NFL. So you probably wouldn't expect some of the other running backs, you know, to get the type of deals that they get outside of maybe Saquon Barkley or whatever the case may be. So the point is, when you put a center on the open market, there is potential there for that guy to be undervalued because, one, a lot of teams have the centers that they want, and two, a lot of teams, when they see all these guys available, they're not going to say, "Yeah, we like that. We like Malik Monk, you know, as a potential sixth man for us and his ability to score the basketball in a guard-oriented league. But let's go get Isaiah Hartenstein to rebound." And, you know, like, that's not what most teams want. But the Grizzlies have all those things lined up. They have great guard play. They have depth off the bench with potential scorers like Luke Kennard, Gigi Jackson, Brandon Clark, all potential double-digit scorers off the bench. He's a missing piece for this team, so he's going to be – the Grizzlies are going to be one of the few teams that probably are willing to pay him exactly what he deserves, and that would put them in the conversation.
All right, before we let you go, what's jumped out at you as far as the playoffs are concerned so far?
Oh, man, it's been as anticipated. I'm not watching much of the East games, and I'm watching all of the West games. So, I mean, I'm not even
Philly? You're not watching Philly, DeMichael?
No. I take that back. Yeah, that's the one but fourth quarter. Like, that's serious. You say, I'll turn it on in the fourth quarter. You know, I don't really want to see Jalen Brunson and Joel Embiid, you know, dancing around all on the court like fish for three quarters. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tune in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter's been really good. Don't get me wrong. But like Heat, Celtics, and Magic, and Cavs, and all that, I zero hard interest in those series. But the West is good, right? I mean, the Thunder are the one seed, and it took everything in them to beat the Pelicans, you know, in that game one. The Suns are favorites as the sixth seed against the Timberwolves, but they aren't favored anymore. No. You know, two games in. That's been bully ball. I mean, I've been really impressed by them. I think the Timberwolves, I kind of want to see them win that series now because I think they match up with the Nuggets better than anybody. Like, the Nuggets are the one team in the West where I feel like I've always felt it's going to be hard to beat them. Mm-hmm. But you talk about a team, I mean, no team has the size. Like, they're the only team that, you know, when you play the Nuggets, they can switch. Like, a lot of teams, that the Murray and Jokic pick and roll is so tough because you can't switch a guard onto to Jokic because it's automatic 2 points, or he's perfect passing through doubles anytime it is. If you put Jaden McDaniels on Murray, which is probably going to be the case, you switch it, you know, yeah, I mean, Jokic is Jokic. Like, he can score on anybody. But you've got a sizable wing who's 6'10 with long arms who can compete until help gets there. So it's a different type of situation. That's why the Suns are having so much trouble at the rim because when they switch Rudy Gobert onto the perimeter, you say, "Oh, I got this mismatch. Let me beat Rudy Gobert off the dribble." Congratulations, you beat Rudy Gobert off the dribble. Now you got to go against all league potential defender and Jaden McDaniels at the rim.
Right. We'll
call that sounds coming from the weak side at 7 feet. You know, or Anthony Edwards, you know, flying through the air, nearly hitting his head on the rim, blocked your shot. Like, that's the team, and that's the team that defense is really showing up, and defense wins championships. So I'm impressed by them more than anyone at this point.
Do you vote for all of the postseason awards?
I did.
Did you have Maxey as your most improved?
I did. I had Maxey. I did have Maxey. No. Yeah, I did. I had him, but I went back and forth because I wanted to put, you know, Kobe White. And quite frankly, here was my thing. You know, I put Maxey because for what the award has become, he's the winner. But I'm much bigger on guys who kind of, you know, come from unexpected roles. Like, we knew that, hey, Harden's gone. This is Max's chance. The floor is he's going to get a bigger role. Like, I just look at that as, hey, he took advantage of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Guys like Jalen Johnson, who went from 5 points to 15 points a game, if he had qualified, that would have been my pick. Mm-hmm. If he would have, you know, met the 65-game minimum. But Kobe White, you know, terrific season from him, like a 9-point jump in average. Those are the type of guys that I think the award should go to, though.
I looked at the last five winners were all guys who were already pretty good, but then became an all-star for the first time, and they won it that year.
Your first-round pick, five-star recruit, or just, you know, just one of those type deals with those type guys. So, yeah, man, I think we should reward these guys, come from bench roles and kind of, you know, like that's what that award's for to me, but yeah.
No, it makes perfect sense. Great stuff as always from DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at DeMichael C. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, DeMichael.
Yeah, I mean, again, I Maxey makes sense.
Yeah, but I hear what you guys are saying.
But a lot of it is just opportunity. Like, you took away the dominant ball handler and gave him the ball. Like, his numbers were just going to get better. That right. doesn't mean he's necessarily a better player or improved. He just has way more of a role than he had before. But I get it. I get it. I mean, certainly, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve the award, but it is. Again, a lot of this award just becomes. I would side more with, like, what he said, like, would want to vote for a guy who's. Numbers have just greatly increased, like, huge thing, and not maybe a just a huge difference in role, but he just became a better shooter, like those types of things.
What type of like jump?
Kobe White's number, like, across the board, are just like way different.
What type of jump did Grayson Allen take? Did he have the same role last year?
I mean, he's a shooter.
I mean, he's scoring a lot more points. He has to be, right?
And he got, I mean, I can't remember where he finished in the voting.
He got
some votes, but I mean, he is kind of what he is, and he's one of the guys, he's been in the league like too long doing the same thing, like, and they still just look at him as a shooter.
Gotcha.
And that's what, and on that team, when you're a shooter like that, surrounded by players like that, you're probably going to score more just because you're going to get way more wide open looks than you've ever gotten in your career. Fleet Feet, the place to go to get all your running gear, especially those shoes. You want to make sure you get shoes that are just right for you. Go see the folks at Fleet Feet. You can check them out in East Memphis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. You can find them in Collierville, Poplar, and Houston Levy next to Huey's. You go in there, they take a look at the way you run, the way you walk, and they get you fitted in shoes that are just right for you, plus everything else that you need. They've got you taken care of at Fleet Feet. You can also find them online. FleetFeetMemphis.com is the website. They're on social media as well. You can follow them there to keep up to date with things they've got going on, things that you can get involved with the folks at Fleet Feet.
You're listening to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Early Monday morning to Friday at 5, man, I work, but I don't climb.
Welcome back. 9:32 the time. Final half hour for us today here on this Wednesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg, Eli, and Zach. We just talked Grizzlies and NBA with DeMichael Cole. Kind of got me into that Grizzlies mood with the NBA playoffs. And you see what some of these young teams are doing. You just wonder about the Grizzlies next year. And will they be able to get back to where they had been for a couple of years before this debacle of the season with it was. Obviously, the injuries certainly put them in a deep, deep hole. But I wanted to take the current roster, and we know this roster is going to change. And so the players that we'll pick from, some of them could very well not be on the team. And in fact, a couple will definitely not be on the team. We know that Yuta Watanabe, unless he changes his mind, will follow through and won't be a member of the team. He will say thumbs down to the player option and go play professionally in Japan. But because we're taking the full roster, we got 18 players to choose from. We are doing a draft, Eli, myself, and Zach, to pick out a six-player team, five starters and your backup, and to see, I don't know, we'll discuss who the best team would be in these 16 divisions or whatever it is. So we'll use the following 18 players, 15 and 3 that are currently two-way guys. So you could pick from Santi Aldama, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, Jordan Goodwin, G.G. Jackson, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trey Jemison, Luke Kennard, John Conchar, Jake LaRavia, John Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr., Derrick Rose, Marcus Smart, Lamar Stevens, Yuta Watanabe, Zaire Williams, and Vince Williams Jr. We did a drawing during the break. I will pick first. Zach will pick second, Eli will pick third, and we'll do it like the serpentine draft. So Eli will go three, and then he'll pick the next one. So he'll go 3-4, and then come back to Zach, and then to me, and then I'll get the next two. So, gentlemen, you ready to write these down? We'll give you a second, Zach. You all good?
I'm good to go.
All right. Obviously, first pick doesn't mean that this is going to be the best team, but got to take Ja Morant, number one overall.
Yeah, give me Jaren Jackson Jr.
Okay.
I'll take Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart.
Ooh, okay.
Let me have Gigi.
Perfect. I need a big to go with Ja, and that'll be Brandon Clark. And then I'll come back and I'll take a shooter in Luke Kennard.
Give me Vince Williams.
Eli, get the next two picks.
You took GG the first time?
He did.
Or the second time or whatever. I'll take Santi and who's still available here? He's gone. Lamar Stevens.
Ah. So who's next? Zach, right?
Yeah, it's me. Let me get Scotty.
So you guys took the two I was going to take. I have the next two picks. So how many have been picked so far? How many guys? Because 18 total picks. What's the total number of picks so far?
Well, I've got four.
Yeah, I didn't write down.
Zach's got four.
And I have three.
Yeah.
So we got 11. We got seven more picks to go. All right. See, I got Ja, I have Clark, and I have Kennard. So I'm going to take I'm looking for a small forward here that I want. LaRavia hasn't been picked?
No.
I'll take LaRavia. And my other pick will be I'm going to go backup point guard. I'm going to go Goodwin. So you're next, Zach.
All right, so I guess Zaire, Derrick Rose, Conchar.
Yuta.
And Jemison is still available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So let's go with. It's kind of slim pickings.
What do you say? It's the bottom of the barrel now? Picking. Come on, man.
Let's go with Zaire.
Okay. So Eli for two.
Well, I take Trey Jemison and John Conchar.
Yeah, I had to get big. So now it's Zach again.
I have D Rose.
And I'm left with Yuta, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So write these down, and then let's hear the teams. I think right now I might have a dominating team, but you be the judge, listeners. All right, so what do you got? What's my team?
Greg's team. He has Ja, BC, Luke, Jake, Jordan, Goodwin, and Yuta Watanabe.
I get to know my last three doesn't sound as strong, but I still got Ja throwing up alley-oops to Clark and Kennard shooting threes. All right, what is your team?
My team, I have Jaren, Gigi, okay. Vince, Scotty, Zaire, and Derrick Rose.
That's pretty good now I think about it. That's pretty good. Okay, and then Eli's.
Eli has Dez, Smart, Santi, Lamar, Trey, and John Conchar.
That's pretty good too. I mean, if Jemison can do his job and play physical defense when Ja's coming to the rim and don't let Ja posterize him, that's I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? If you look at those three teams, I mean, you can make a case for all three. Give me Eli's again. He has Dez, right?
Dez, Marcus Smart, Santi Aldama.
A lot of scoring.
Lamar Stevens, Trey Jimison, John Contra.
Yeah, you have a lot of guys who can get to the rim, penetrate, and finish. It just can – you got defense on the perimeter, too. In Smart and Bane plays pretty decent defense. It's just, can Jemison play?
Yeah. I got versatility. I got a bunch of hoopers on my squad. We're gonna put up points.
I don't want to analyze my own team. So what do you think about the team I got? I mean, obviously you got Ja, but
I mean, Ja's Ja.
Like
whoever gets the number one pick, having Ja is gonna be that's a huge difference.
See, the question is, who's your center, Zach?
Jaren.
Yeah. See, Jaren trying to stop Ja. That would be fun. And then big 7-footer Jemison. I don't know. I thought we did a good job there.
I think the BC pick and roll is going to be fun. And then you got Luke kind of
be tough
off the wing.
I think Luke was the sneaky good pick to get me the outside shooting in case Ja had to like kick it out to the wing.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, Dez, I love Dez as a 3-point shooter too, but you know, statistics wise, you have one of the best in the last, what, 3-4 years in Kennard. So yeah, I think we did a good job as far as putting those teams together. You agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I got my players got wingspan on this team.
I know. Wouldn't it be fun to see those guys go at it? So who is your sixth man? Is it the last guys that were picked? See, mine would have to be Goodwin because I picked him as a backup to Ja, so Yuta would get the start. I would have Laravia, Yuta. I'm trying to think of my position. So I got
Job point, Luke at shooting, you to add
small forward.
Small forward?
You'd have to be. Which one's bigger? Laravia or who's bigger? Yuta or Laravia?
I think they're about the same size.
Yeah, one's three, one's four.
Yeah, Laravia. Yeah, so
and then
Laravia
Clark's my center.
Your power forward and BC your center.
And then yours would be?
Jaren B at center. Vince is shooting guard. GG's at power forward. Zaire at shooting guard and Scotty at point guard.
Zaire at small forward, right?
Yeah. You're starting Yuta and Laravia? And you think your team's the best?
Well, I got John Clark and Kennard, but I'm trying to think, should I start Goodwin? Maybe I should start Goodwin. And go.
It'll be wise to start
Goodwin's a great rebounder, too. Yeah, you're right. I should start Goodwin. Yeah, and then yours would be, and then Eli's, what do you got?
Dez Smart. And Smart is backcourt.
Yeah, then I have Jemison center, Santi at power forward, and Stevens at small forward.
That's a pretty big front line with Santi next to
so
Jemison.
Trey and Santi would be your front court, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My team defensively would be easily the best.
But just protecting the rim? Or
Well, Lamar Stevens is versatile. He could guard anybody. You got Marcus Smart to guard on the perimeter. Like my team defensively, by far the best.
Can Smart slow down Ja? If they were going one-on-one, serious one-on-one, playing for $5 million, which is, again, chump change probably to them, but I'm saying. I mean, a serious one-on-one, could he slow down Ja? Could anybody slow down Ja?
Yeah, because he's physical. Just get physical with him. He's a lot stronger.
Which comes back to always my concern about Ja. Even though Ja, as thin as he is, and he's not frail, certainly, but he plays a lot tougher. But those injuries, there's not much you can do about it when you fall awkwardly. And that's always my concern with Ja. Well, we just talked about professional basketball players, and most of those guys can shoot the rock extremely well. You're talking about the best of the best. Well, at Shoot 360 Memphis, I'm not promising you they can make you the next Ja Morant or Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. But I can tell you this, they will help you improve your shot and make you a better and more well-rounded basketball player. From preps to pros, this is about as cool a place as you'll ever see as basketball players looking to perfect their shot, challenge themselves, and compete with others, get that opportunity because they learn the proper ways to shoot the ball using modern analytics. Shoot 360 Memphis is located in Collierville, but they are moving They're moving their entire facility to an even bigger space in Cordova. State of the art. And they are taking registrations right now as they will open in Cordova on June 1st. So parents out there, grandparents, relatives, you're thinking about a graduation gift for your eighth grader or for maybe your high school senior or even a college player. It doesn't matter the level because they will all get the opportunities to improve their shooting. Players of all skills. Everything the athletes do in the facility is recorded and stored in a member's app, and you can watch their progress in real time. So to sign up for this, give Shoot 360 Memphis a call at 901-316-5500 or go online to Shoot 360 Memphis. You can also stop by their facilities in Collierville. Sign up for the move to Cordova. It's Shoot 360 Memphis. We're coming back with our final segment. The draft is tomorrow night. Some talk on the what to expect as far as that's concerned. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. Final segment tomorrow. Among our guests, we'll have our Showboat Showcase. Showboat's back home. It's been a while. Unfortunately, they've lost three in a row now as they come back to play Michigan. And that game will be on Sunday. So come on out and watch the Showboats. Hopefully, Eli, they can get things turned around.
Yep, big game because it is a USFL conference game, and Michigan is a game ahead of them right now for second place. And again, top two teams in the conference will get into the postseason. So huge game, plus the tributes to Reggie White and Pepper Rogers that they're going to be doing on Sunday. So that'll be cool to honor some of the Showboats of old legends. So that'll be happening on Sunday as well. Tomorrow morning we'll be talking to Darius Victor, the running back. Thick thighs save lives, Mr. Victor.
What? He is the quintessential bowling ball running back. How tall is Victor? Like, really, how tall? 5'5"?
He's probably, I'm guessing 5'6", 5'7". I don't know. I've not stood right next to him to know.
He hasn't had an opportunity to really get unleashed with the struggles of the offensive line. When he played for, was it New Jersey? Do I remember him from?
Yeah, 2 years ago, he was the offensive player of the year in the league. Yeah. Last year, he had a pretty good year. His numbers came down a little bit, but he had a good game up in St. Louis. They were able to get the running game going a little bit. He's just been banged up, too. He has not been real healthy. So he's getting healthier, I think, and so had a nice game on this past Saturday, and hopefully they can continue that on Sunday against Michigan.
The NFL yesterday reinstated Eagles cornerback Isaiah Rodgers Sr. from his year-long suspension for violating the league's policy on gambling. Rodgers was with the Colts when he was suspended on June 29th, but was released by the team later that day, then signed with the Eagles in August. Earlier this year, Rodgers was on ESPN, and he told reporter John Barr that while bets were made from his account, they were made for others and not himself. He said the wagers, including some smaller ones and a $1,000 prop bet, were placed from his online sports gambling account. Well, that's stupidity at the highest level for using your own account to make bets for anybody out there. But it's not a lifetime ban. This isn't the Jonte Porter situation. So Rodgers can come back and play. The draft is tomorrow night from Detroit, Michigan. Again, there's no intrigue as far as the overall number one pick, as the Chicago Bears will select quarterback Caleb Williams. I still think there's a little bit of mystery with that second pick. I believe Washington will take Jaden Daniels, but I don't know if that's a slam dunk. And then what does New England do with three? Do they take Drake May? Is there going to be a deal? I think there could be a lot of movement in this draft, a lot of movement. Thoughts?
The Let's see. The over-under, where is it, of trades in the first round is 5.5.
5.5. That's a good number. So they think there could be a lot as
and the
well.
Over-under for trades in the top 10 picks is 2.
Arizona will pick 4th, Chargers 5th. Then the Giants, the Titans, the Falcons, the Bears with their second first-round pick, and the Jets will round out the top 10. Still nothing official yet on the Zach Wilson trade that has been talked about for a couple of days, correct?
I don't believe so, no. Could also bet, by the way, and I guess, I don't know, I don't, Bill Belichick, there's a, the Athletics say that he's, they're close to a deal. Apparently, he's going to become a regular part of the Manning cast for Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that had been in the...
I don't know what he's going to be doing during the draft, possibly, for ESPN.
Oh, he's with McAfee.
Is that during the draft they're doing a show?
Yeah, he's with McAfee.
Because there is a line of what will happen first during the broadcast, Nick Saban smiling or Bill Belichick smiling?
I'm going Saban.
Saban is the favorite at minus 150.
Oh, gosh. I think it's a no-brainer.
The over-under number of dogs shown during round one is 2. Cats is 1.
Okay. Dogs? Why would they show dogs?
Because
Belichick has a dog.
The draft people in their house. Like when they go to they show them in their house, if there's not people that are at the draft, if it's people that are in their house, they go
to their dog. Okay. That's right. Because not everybody's there in the green room. I don't know. That's one I would stay away from. I have no idea how that'll work. But again, one of these storylines is how many quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. Is there going to be 6 taken in the first?
Maybe one of the prospects is going to put a bunch of money on more than one dog if he knows he's going to draft for first. He has like 5 dogs at home, and he like, as soon as they show us, just make sure all the dogs are on camera.
And suspended immediately from the NFL for that prop bet.
Springtime is a time for love and romance and celebration, and that's what Genesis Diamonds is all about. They can make that love, that romance, that celebration even more special with a great piece of jewelry from the folks at Genesis Diamonds. Whether it's an engagement ring, thinking about popping the question, thinking about getting engaged, go to Genesis Diamonds. Check out the amazing selection of rings and diamonds they have for you at Genesis Diamonds. But maybe it's some other occasion. Maybe it's a graduation. Maybe it's Mother's Day, Father's Day. Maybe it's an anniversary. Whatever it is, they've got a special piece of jewelry that can make a great gift idea for any special occasion when you go to Genesis Diamonds. Selection, price, service, you're going to get the best of everything at Genesis Diamonds. They've been open just over a year now here in Memphis. They continue to blow people away when they go in there. Check out that huge selection of jewelry, of line after line of jewelry that no other store in town has. The prices, you get direct importer pricing, taking out the middleman, and the service you get from no commission salespeople. They're just there to help you, educate you, and make you a smarter shopper when it comes to buying jewelry. They're not there to pressure you into buying the most expensive thing in the store. And something for every budget as well. Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended.
Greg Norman, the commissioner of LIV, says he's open-minded about a 72-hole format. So possibly a change in the future. As John Rahm has already indicated in his first year at LIV that he would like to play a 72-hole tournament, although he joined a tour that had 54 whole events, so be it.
It's just so funny to me. He knows what it is. He goes there. Exactly. Like, you should play 72. And they're like, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Like, I wonder, the other players are probably like, well, no, like, we don't want to play 72.
We signed up for 54.
And again, are you going to change your name?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the whole reason it's LIV is because it's 54.
Exactly. That'll do it for us today. Our thanks to Tim Buckley, Mike Claiborne, and to Michael Cole for joining us on the program. We're back tomorrow. Draft day, at least round number one, tomorrow night. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. Again, we'll have our Showboat Showcase and some other goodies on the program tomorrow. Probably, I would imagine, plenty of transfer portal news to get to as well. Well, on friends, on Sports 56 is coming up next, so stay tuned for that. For Eli Savoy and for Zach Boyd, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody. Don't
stop.